stand, and I'm going to ask you all to read with me, beginning with verse 12, down to the end of the chapter. Would you please stand? Every man, woman, and child is able to read. Would you take your Bible and read with us as we read from verse 12 down through verse 59? Reading together. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. One of the things that I am most grateful for is that God sheds light on my path personally and on your path personally, so that we do not have to wonder whether or not we are walking the right way or doing the right thing. Now he said, I am the light of the world. Light dispels darkness, and so we all know that. In the first part of this book, it says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And it further says that the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John went on to say that this was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We remember on one occasion when the Lord went up to the coast of Israel near Naphtali. They said that it was fulfilled, that was written in the prophets, by the people that sat in darkness saw great light, as was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Malachi said, Unto you that fear my name shall the sun, S-U-N of righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. This is the Savior who is the light of the world. Had he not come, this world would still be dwelling in utter chaos and darkness. But thank God there is a remnant of people in the world that have been called out of the world and have been taken out of darkness into light, and now know without any question where they're going, what they believe, whom they believe, whereof they affirm, and they know that there is ahead of them a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They know ahead of them there is a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And, of course, we do not walk in an unsteady way. We know. Peter said, We are a people called out of darkness into his marvelous light. In much the same way that God spoke into existence a light back in the beginning of creation, Paul says that God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
One day God turned the light on and let us see what we were, where we stood, how we fit in. And suddenly we saw ourselves in the light of a holy God. And then God began to turn the light on to let us walk step by step through life, one step at a time, showing us the next step so that we could take it by faith and then go on from there. And I believe that God's doing that to us today. I believe there are things that we approach that are utterly unknown. We have not been this way before, but God is showing us as a people, one step at a time, where we're to walk and how that we're to trust Him and believe Him in walking in the right way. And beloved, we dare not to close our eyes against that light that God has given to us. We now can understand. We now can walk in the right way, in fellowship with God and in fellowship one with another. Turn with me, if you will, now to 1 John, and let's look at this walk in the light. I said this of something I heard a long time ago. I heard a preacher say one time, as he was talking about faith, he said, faith is like when you don't know where to go. It's like taking a big jump out into a dark chasm and you're trusting God to catch you. That's not the way faith operates at all. Faith operates as a walk in the light. God shows us light, and therefore we begin to step out upon His promise. And our life continues just that way. It's a life of faith. I'd like you to look now, if you will, at 1 John chapter 1 and look at verse number 5 through 7. John said, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that is near to God, in fellowship with Him, we walk in the light. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The only thing then that breaks our fellowship, even with one another, is what? The failure to walk in the light. We hide many times ourselves in the darkness. We hide ourselves under the cover of, "I think it'd be better if I approach life from a different perspective." It breaks the fellowship between brethren. It breaks the fellowship between a man and God, because as we draw near to God, the more of ourselves that we see in His light and in His presence. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever see a man or a woman that you knew from all indications that walked close to God, who was daily in His presence in prayer and in meditation and in study of the Bible? Did you ever see such a person that did not see the depths of his sin and degradation in the eyes of a holy God? And he saw the need to continually meditate and pray and approach the throne of God to find mercy and grace to help on a daily basis. This is a walk in the light. It's a walk to show us where we are and how we feel and how that God is always there, merciful and forgiving, to help us and cleanse us. He sheds light upon our sin. Many people wonder, how is it that we can see all of these things? It's because we walk in the light. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we see this is a walk in the light. That's what faith is about. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. If any man come after me, he shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's a continuous walk, as we'll see from this chapter. It looks like, if you read this, and as we've read it together, it looks like, in a way, unless you see the whole picture there, that this verse seems to be out of place. It's right in the middle of this story. Here was the woman who was caught in adultery. And we talked about that this morning. It kind of stopped there. And then this verse 12 seemed like it just stuck in the middle. And now we go on and we change the subject, it seems. But that's not true, because Jesus is going to show us what it means to walk in the light as it concerns these Jews, these people that He's having interchange with at this point in time. And I'll show you what I'm talking about. The second thing that he takes up here in this passage that we have before us tonight is this. He makes the assertion that he is the light of the world. And then he says, he begins to show them and declare to them the other side of their argument, where they say that he bears record of himself and his record isn't true. And what he brings before them is the fact that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And let's again look at this in these words. It's hard just to really add anything to it because it's quite clear. The Pharisee said, "Thou bear record of thyself, thy record isn't true." And Jesus said, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Because why? You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." Now, he said, "It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. That's mine and that of my Father, because my Father testifies and he bears witness that what I'm saying is correct." He's talking about God, who is his Father. He said, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Then they said unto him, "Where's your Father?" Jesus answered, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." He doesn't make any bones about it. Here's the Jews unto whom was committed the oracles of God. Here's the Jews to whom was given the covenants and the promises. Here's the Jews that was given the great feast, and actually of whom came the Word of God in the Old Testament and the beginning and nucleus of the New Testament church. Here's the Jews of whom came Christ after the flesh. And yet he says, "You don't know my Father." Now, the bottom line here is that there are lots of people in the world that will oftentimes tell you, "I believe in a creator God. I believe in the Genesis account of creation. And I believe in the Ten Commandments. And I believe that the things that are written in the Old Testament are right. They are correct. And I believe in God." That's not enough. It doesn't save a man. It didn't save these Jews. Only Christ could save him. Only Christ could save them, I should say. The point is that they were not of the Father. They have no part nor lot with the Heavenly Father. Verse 20 says, "These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." I'm amazed how many times this comes across in the scripture. And we see here the sovereign hand of God upon his Son as he goes through life, as he prepares to go to the cross, and yet it was impossible for these people to take him until that very day, the very point where he could fulfill literally to the letter that which was written in the Old Testament law concerning him. His hour was not yet come. You know, I guess I'm so sovereignty oriented that I believe this. I believe God has a little check on his calendar. And right there somewhere on his calendar, he's got my name down at the very minute of some hour, somewhere in the future, where I'm going to go home to be with him. I believe your name is on that calendar as well. I believe he's got your name written down there someplace, sometime. And your hour one day is coming. Your hour and mine one day is on God's schedule of events. One day he'll say it's enough. One day he'll say your race is finished. One day he'll say you finished your course. One day he'll say, "Come home, come up and spend the day." One day God will bring you into his presence, because we have an hour. Jesus had an appointment with death. That appointment was to hang on the cross and to there bear our sins in his own body on the tree, as you know. Now notice that he said, "I go my way," verse 21, And ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. He had already said, I and my Father are one. He had already said, the Father hath sent me. And they said, are you that prophet? And he said, I am. The woman at the well said, when Messiah comes, he shall teach us all things. And Jesus said, I that speak to thee am he. I am the Messiah. He's already told them. And he here reiterates that position. That I've told you from the beginning. He said, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. Speaking of his crucifixion, you're going to crucify me. Then you're going to know that I am the Messiah, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now here's an interesting statement. As he spake these words, many believed on him. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying and what I'm going to come back to this. It is true that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That word believeth is a present infinitive. It means that I have believed and I am still believing. It's the same word that you find again and again in the scripture. A present imperative. When Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house, it means exactly what it says. But I want you to know that there are people in the world, and were in Jesus' time, who are what I'm going to call, for the sake of just labeling these folks, they are nominal believers. That's what these people are, as you'll see. They did not believe to the saving of the soul. They would not continue in walking in faith. In fact, I don't know what they really believed, and I couldn't say that it was just intellectual assent, because the Bible says they believed on him. Yet, I want you to notice what the Lord says to these folks. He spoke directly to them, those that had believed, when he said and made the statement in verse 31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He wasn't talking to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the scribes. He was talking to those that believed. Now notice what he said. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That is, disciples without question. No question about it. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Every one of us, in some way, who started out in belief and faith and trust in Christ, are fulfillment of that scripture. We have learned here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line, as we've lived in the world. God has brought us to this place and this point. We have learned much more of the truth than we knew when we were younger Christians. And as we know the truth about ourselves, about God, about the world in general, the truth makes us free. It made us free from the penalty of sin when we believed and trusted Christ as our substitute. It makes us free from the power of sin as we believe him on a daily basis, it frees us from the bondage of corruption in which we're prone to walk as we yield to the flesh. Paul asked the question, Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? In other words, he went on to say that we're debtors. We've been crucified with Christ to destroy the old body of sin that we walk on. That's a present truth. And it's a truth that's good for every one of us to know and realize. Now notice how he categorizes these things in the next statement. If you know the truth, you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. I've seen in my life people that made professions of faith as they were younger. I saw them go through the growing pains of growing up in a Christian church. I've seen them overcome the power of the shackles of sin that were upon their lives. I've seen them transform from glory to glory as they were exposed to the Word of God. I've seen them come to the understanding of what scriptural baptism is. I've seen them come to an understanding of what the New Testament church is. I've seen them learn how to walk. I've seen them learn how to operate with their brethren in the world. I've seen them grow in the fruit of the Spirit, where they learn to suffer long and forbear and forgive their brethren. I've seen them face the obstacles and hurts of life, and I've seen them stand by as their kindred has fallen to death, and I've seen them rejoice. And I see them as their hair grows gray, still believing, still walking, still continuing in his word. And there's no question in my mind that they are disciples indeed as they continue in God's word. But Jesus said in answer to their question and their observation, they said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be free? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And he's going to say, that's what you're doing. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. He set the contrast between the servant and the son. See, we're no more servants, but sons. We have been made sons. We've not been manifested yet to all. And the whole creation is waiting when they can clap their hands with us at the manifestation of the sons of God. They're groaning and travailing together in pain until now, waiting for that time. But you and I are not servants, but we're now sons. We're friends of his. We're his brethren. So he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, without any question. Break the power of sin that the devil wants to hold over you as you continue in your life as a child of God. I was talking with a woman down Larry's place in Seattle. And she says, what is this power of Christianity? I said, this power of Christianity is that Jesus can take a drunk and transform his life. It's that Jesus can take a drug addict and transform his life. It's that Jesus can take a slave to the sins of the world and break the power of the sin so that he can live a righteous, acceptable life. But the point is that he is accepted in the Savior first, and then the Savior gives him the power and the privilege to overcome the devices of the devil in his life. He said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, not children. He contrasts the two. Yes, you're Abraham's seed, but you remember that it was not the children of Ishmael that were counted for the seed. It's the children of Isaac. And we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We are not as Ishmael, that which is born after the flesh, nor are we of the sons of Keturah, the later wife of Abraham. And yet these were, in fact, Abraham's seed, but not his children in the sense of the spiritual children. There's two lines of Abraham. See, the children of Abraham are over there today fighting with one another. Someone said to me, you mean, was talking about the trip took to the Holy Land. Someone was surprised when we mentioned that there were Arabs in Jerusalem. These two are the descendants of Abraham, are they not? And they said, you mean there are Arabs in Jerusalem? I said, yes, on the tour I was on. The tour guide was a Jew and the bus driver was an Arab. And they're still at enmity. Jesus said, and just like this, I thought about that sitting on that bus, riding around with those people. I thought about the man behind the steering wheel. Now, I didn't know whether he was saved or not, but I knew that if he wasn't saved, he was still Abraham's seed. Could have said the same thing of the tour guide. By his confession, he wasn't saved, so I knew he was Abraham's seed, but not literally in the sense of the scripture, Abraham's children or child. Now, note the difference. Jesus said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. You don't know God. You don't really fit in as the child of Abraham. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Saying, my father's God, and your father is not God, someone else. I am telling you what my father said, and you're doing the works of your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What kind of works did Abraham do? God said to Abram one day, he said, get thee out of thy house and away from thy kindred unto a land that I'll tell you of. And the Bible says that Abraham left by faith, knowing not whither he went. Isn't that what happened in your life one day? God spoke to you and said, leave your kindred. Leave your house. And I'm going to take you of a place that I'll tell you of. You've not yet seen. You may have heard of by the ear, but you've not yet seen. That's what happened to me when I was a boy 11 years old. God said, I'm taking you to another country. I'm taking you to a better country, that is, in heavenly. And it's by faith. That's how Abraham operated. He left by faith. Hebrews 6 tells us, by faith he sojourned in a land, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. God was not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. That was the capital of the country to which they were going. Now he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But obviously they weren't. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. God didn't do that. Abraham didn't go around killing people. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I myself, but he sent me. The fact is that God's people act like God's people. Now listen to me. They do stumble, but they don't fall and are utterly cast down. They love God's people. They love the Word of God. God's people loves the church. They know they're God's people because they have a love for the brethren. They love to hear the Word of God. They love to do whatever they can do to further the cause of Christ. Many times we fall into disillusionment, perhaps, as the disciples did, when we're faced with a difficult situation. But like Peter, we'd say to ourselves, Where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And they're identified as the sheep that hear his voice because they love the Father. And because they love the Father, they love the Son. And because they love the Son, they love all of those who are the brethren of the Son. These are the identifiers. Christian people don't want to murder. Christian people don't want to get drunk. Christian people don't want to lie. Christian people don't want to steal. Christian people try to flee from sin. He's lazing on the line, doesn't he? He said, You do the deeds of your father. What's the deeds of the devil? Deceit! Lying, hypocrisy, murder, revelings, adultery, hatred, wrath, variance, strife, fornication. Jesus said, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? And he answers a question, even because you cannot hear my word. He didn't say they would not. He said, you cannot hear my word. You're not God's people. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Can't do anything else. A corrupt tree brings forth what? Corrupt fruit. A good tree brings forth good fruit. A corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Isn't that what he's saying in chapter 10? Look at it. Verse 26, 27. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why? They're not his sheep. He said, A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers, in that same chapter. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Why, you're demon-possessed. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. I want to tell you, that's a little verse, but that's one of the grandest verses to me in all the Bible. He said, if you keep my saying, you'll never see death. Man, I share this with you just one more time. Perhaps God will open your eyes and let you see. You see, we are now partakers of eternal life. Having believed and been born of the Spirit of God, we now possess eternal life. When the hour of the departure of this soul and spirit from this body comes, I'm persuaded at that point that God opens our spiritual eyes and our faith becomes sight. And the doors of death have no sting upon that one that's in Christ, because he took our death on the cross. And we'll never see death, but we'll step out of this life into that life. We'll step out of this world into the very presence of a holy God. A lady said to me, don't you fear death? And I said, I guess as a human, I suppose all of us want to hang around a while. I suppose we are alike in that we don't want to get on the bus for the next trip. But to answer your question, no, I don't fear death. Because death is a vanquished, conquered foe. My Savior has the keys of death and of hell. And he said, I'll never see death. It looks to me like that the people of the world could understand. Although I guess it's part of the process of the hidden things and the darkness that is upon them. That the devil deceives them until they can't face the reality of death. I don't think I'm overly involved with that. I don't sit and ponder it all the time, but it becomes in clear focus to us when we realize that the Bible says the days of a man's life are 70, except by reason of strength they be 80. And you look at your life and you're plus 50 years of age. It doesn't take much mathematics to understand that you're at the end of the end. Let me say to you, may God give you grace to realize that while you have strength, while you have opportunity, while you have the blessed privileges that you have, that you exercise the most that you can before you're called to go to your long home, because rapidly that time comes into vivid focus. We must do the works of him while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. But thanks be unto God, for those who keep his saying shall never see death. The world doesn't understand that because they don't understand our hope. To the world, it's fanciful thinking. To the world, it's pie in the sky. But unto us who believe, it's the power of God and the hope. Then the Jews said, Now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. You've been telling us about Abraham. But remember, Jesus said, Abraham is dead. But God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus had told them the story, you remember, how that when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom, and Abraham was talking and conversing. We read the account of where Moses went to the top of Mount Pisgah and looked over into the promised land. And God said, there you must die. And we read that he died and God buried him. And no man knows his sepulcher unto this day. But God is not God of the dead, but of the living. Because he appeared with Elijah and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and spoke of the decease that should be accomplished by the Lord not many days hence. They live on. We look in the stadium of the saint, and we're aware of the cloud of witnesses that looks upon. Of the living, not the dead. I look in my life of those old preachers and their wives and their children and the old saints that have walked the path of God down through the years, like we saw their body put in the grave. But we're acutely aware of their presence among the living. Because God is the God of the living. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honoreth me, for whom you say, of whom you say that he's your God. Want to be careful when people say, he's my God. That's not enough. The devils believe in God and tremble. We think sometimes because people have a white wall haircut and a sharp suit, and because they talk about God, that he must be a Christian. He may not be at all. And frankly, in our day, I hope you understand what I mean, I resent the term Judeo-Christian. I think it's blasphemy. I've said this and I say it again, and I don't say it to cast reflection upon the man. I'll never forget the man who was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he said, God does not hear the prayer of the Jew. Because he's lost without Christ. And then because of the pressures of the position and of the world, the man retracted the statement. But I want to tell you tonight that if the man is not in Christ, it doesn't matter what he is, Jew or Gentile, he's lost. Apart from God, he may believe in the Creator God, but it's not enough. He may be the seed of Abraham, but it's not enough. Jesus said, you've not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. It's not pride on the part of a man, nor is it narrow-mindedness to say, I'm saved, and if you don't repent of your sins, if you don't come to Christ, you're going to spend an eternity in a lake of fire. Yes, if you don't believe what I believe and believe on the person I'm believing in, you're going to hell when you die. Otherwise, you're a liar. That's the truth. Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. You remember when God said to Abraham, when he said, how shall I know I'll inherit it? And he said, Abraham, take a bullock and a sheep, and I believe it was a goat, and a lamb or a pigeon and a turtle dove. And he said, kill the animals. And he said, divide them in two and lay the parts one against another. But don't divide the birds. Lay those eight parts on the altar and I'll meet you with fire. You know what Abraham saw? He saw the promise that Isaac, and in Isaac would his seed be called, that he would become the father of the faithful, and through him would all of the earth be blessed. There's a picture of the new birth. The eight pieces brought together. The fire of God coming between them and meeting with the men of the covenant. God said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And he saw by faith the one out yonder. As Paul said, he spoke to him not of seeds, but of seed, speaking of Isaac. The son of promise. The son who could not be born after the flesh, but who was born when all of the hopes of the flesh were gone. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. He's the father of the faithful. He's the father of all that believe. And one day you and I will sit down in the kingdom with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The Jews said, well, you're not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You remember what Moses said to God? He said, who will I say sent me? And he said, I am. I am that I am. I saw a blasphemous man the other day with a bumper sticker that says, I am. He didn't realize that he was that far away from eternity. One heartbeat away. Jesus said, I am. He's announcing himself as the incarnate Son of God. Before Abraham was, I was there. I was in the beginning with the Father, don't you see? When God said, let there be light, and there was light, I was there. I was the wisdom that created the earth, that spoke into existence, that brought it form. Let us make man. He could say, I remember, I was there. The councils of eternity, when however you understand it, when the names of all of those of God's people was transcribed in the book, and the decision was made that Christ was to come and to die on a cross for the sins of men, he was there. And God gave him a body, and he took a body to offer it, to keep it holy and pure and clean, to be tempted in all point, and to yield it up as a sacrifice for our sins. Before Abraham was, I am. Then the stones again. How the world hates the truth. How they hate the truth. Aren't you glad you know the truth? Aren't you glad you can hold the truth and read it? A man said the other day, he was in a prison and he talked to this man. And he told him about Jesus, and he told him about himself and what the Bible had to say about it. And he said, after the man had apparently given his life to the Lord, had prayed and had cried out to God and confessed Jesus as his Savior, the preacher said he took the Bible and he gave it to the man, and he said, now you need to take this book and you need to read it. You need to read Genesis and you need to read John to start with. And the man looked at him, and the tears welled up in his eyes, and the tears ran across his wrinkled face, and across his worried brow. There the sweat began to pour. And he said, Preacher, help me. I don't know how to read. I don't know how to read. We're a blessed people that know how to read the Word of God. Some people think this is a secular exercise. But it's not. God commands us to read his book. And the sinners of the world and the lazy of the world don't learn to read. And the irresponsible of the world never teach their children to read for one purpose. So they can read and understand, thus saith the Lord. I'm so glad I was brought up in a Christian heritage. and learn how to read the Bible from a child. I'm not ashamed that I want my children to read. I want my grandchildren to read. I want their children to read. Not so they can read Moby Dick. Not so they can read Silas Marner. Not any of those things, but because they admonish to read the books, the words of this law. God help us. I trust that some of the things that brought out before you tonight in this chapter have been a help and a blessing to you. I rejoice when I read this to know that God one day apprehended me. That one day God found me as a little boy. That God spoke peace to my heart. And God has walked with me every step of the way of my life for these last, 44 long years, yet short. It seems as yesterday. The light today shines brighter and brighter and brighter. The hope becomes more clear. We're thankful for it. As I read this, I rejoice more in the grace of God and the love of God that's been extended to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your Spirit, for your Son, that the Spirit has been sent to magnify and testify of. We thank you for the privilege of sharing. We thank you for the joy to serve you. And I ask you now tonight, Lord, have your way in a time of response. In Jesus' name, amen.